Good morning.
Good morning.
So it's that time of where we have a guest speaker, a mere copy of the things that are true. Craig usually handles the pulpit and does a great job in the pulpit. And so once a month, one of the rookies get to take over and try their hand. And it's good for us. It really is. It keeps us in the Word a little tighter. It makes us appreciate the work that goes on behind this pulpit. And it gives Craig a break at the same time. So that's always good. Helps us, helps Craig, and hopefully this lesson will help you, because that's what we're here about, to build each other up, to benefit from the Word. And that's what I intend to do, and I hope that intention finds its way home. So this morning, I'd like to focus on the topic of yesterday. And why would we focus in our rearview mirror? Why would we think about those things that are past? Why would we think about those things that are just mere memories or accomplishments that we've had? Why? Why focus on the past? If you think about it, everything that you've been through up until this point in time has made you who you are, right? So let's think about those things that are good, those things that are constructive that we've had that have been beneficial to us. You can't help but say, well, we've had some good times and we've had some bad. Both have made us who we are today, right? Absolutely. Some of those good things that happen in our lives help us with confidence. Hey, we've made it through that. We can do this, right? That helps me. Some of the things that we do wrong, I don't want to go there again. That motivates us to stay on the straight and narrow, doesn't it? So some of our yesterdays can be a blessing. Some of those things that we've done are accomplishments that shine bright in our past. The day that we graduated college, high school, got the special degree, was commissioned in the Army. Those things are proud days in our past, right, when our children were born. A lot of those things just stand out and really make a difference in our lives, don't they? So some of those memories, as I said, will help us. They'll motivate us to say, I've gone this far. Let's go a little further. Motivate us. Help us to stretch ourselves and be a little better. So memories are important. Some of those memories are reminders. If you turn to Joshua chapter 4, God was very deliberate in setting up this memorial, setting up this marker, setting up this reminder. And in case people forgot, hopefully the next generation would come along and say, hey, what's that for? What's that thing in the middle of the Jordan? Joshua chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. Now, wait a minute. How can anyone walk into the middle of the Jordan River? It's a strong river. It doesn't go dry. God stopped the River Jordan for them to the children of Israel to pass on. It's dry now. So for people to walk into a middle of a river bed, it can be done. Anyway, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. A memorial of victory. A memorial that God was going before them, that paving the way for them to go into the Promised Land. Yes to all those. And don't forget that God gave you this promised land. Two good reminders, right? When you think of people who face struggles, or when you think of people who overcome, you turn to David, and you look in 1 Samuel chapter 17 for him to make his own case before King Saul and to say, I've been there, I've done that, I can do this, right? We're talking about one particular giant warrior, Goliath, taunting the armies of Israel and making fun, blaspheming God, blaspheming the armies of God, saying, okay, bring me somebody that is worthy. Bring me someone that I can beat to a pulp and show you who's superior. David comes to King Saul and says, I want to be that guy. Remember who David is in his life. He's a very young man. He's not a warrior by any stretch of the imagination. He's a shepherd of sheep. But he's going to recount to Saul those reasons why Saul should let him go and face this 9-foot giant for the nation and overcome. Read with me, if you would, 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 through 37. It says, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them. For he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine, of this Philistine. Now, if you're King Saul, the nation is hanging on the balance of this battle, right? Because the victor of this battle is going to be the defeating army. They will be the victors, and the other ones leave. So King Saul has enough faith in David to say, go and the Lord be with you. Now, so far, David's a young man, but when he defeats the Philistine, does he stop there? Does he quit? No, he does many other great things. His faith deepens, right? He has a deep faith, and he builds on that. He builds on his victories. He also learns and builds on his defeats, right? Absolutely. A good object lesson for us. David's a good guy. Okay. How about Luke chapter 22? I think Mark used this in your Lord's Supper just a little bit ago. There's some things that happen in our yesterdays, in our history, that we cannot forget. And we're reminded that at the Lord's Supper. Luke chapter 22 and verse 19 says, and he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Wow. Okay, so there's something that we hang on to, that we keep in our forefront of our minds, remembering the gift of God, remembering the will of the Father, that Jesus go to the cross, and the answer that Jesus gives, yes, I'll do it. Yes, I'll go. That's not anything that we need to forget. We need to keep that alive and fresh. Today and every day. Something from our long time ago, our yesterdays, that we need to keep right up here in front of us, right? What happens sometimes to us when we let our memory slip? We've let our memory slip to the place where it shouldn't slip, or we forget where we've been. We forget that we were cleansed from our sins. We forget where we were. And we let ourselves just kind of get pushed around by the winds of life. 2 Peter chapter 2 is a warning, is a reminder for us that it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt our spirit. It's going to hurt our life. It's not good for us. So it reminds us what happens when we don't keep the memories and the convictions sharp and real and alive. What happens when we allow our faith to dim? When we don't keep it real and alive? What happens when we fall away? What state do we find ourselves in? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 tells us that. It says, "For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ," that talks about someone who was a Christian, who was in a saved state, who knew the truth, "they are again entangled in them and overcome, they fall. The last state has become worse for them than the first." You mean there's a state that we can get to in our lives where we're worse off than were we before we came to Christ? That's what the scripture tells us. We knew the truth and we let it go. That's worse. The question is for us, though, will we let this state be our yesterday? Will we let this state be our today? Will we let this state be our tomorrow? Does. Right? Okay. So if you would, turn to Philippians chapter 3. Look at some more scriptures here. So we know the story of Saul, how he's converted from where he was to where we see and read about him in the scriptures, the New Testament. Saul becoming Paul. Did Saul have a background? Did he have a lineage? Did he have a place in his society that were all good? Yes, he absolutely did. Yes, Saul did. He had a lot to put on the line when he is confronted with the truth. I guess the question for us, and we know the answer already, when Saul was presented with the truth, did he say, "No, I got a good thing going here. Thanks anyway, Jesus"? No. He honestly replied to the truth. That's what it is. That's the truth I need to embrace. Let's read some of the things that Saul was and where he went with them. Philippians chapter 3, verses 3 through 9 says, "For we are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless." That's a pretty tall order for someone living under the Old Testament. That is a pretty pristine pedigree for someone living under the law. What did he do when confronted with the truth? Verse 7. "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." See how important faith is to us. See how important it is to understand how much a part in our life Christ must play. So Paul changed his priorities. He put on Christ. He changed his focus. He bucked the system. He forsook Judaism. That's a big price to pay for someone that connected and that deep into the system to just walk away from it. That was a price for him to pay. But what did he say? "I count it as rubbish, this garbage, refuse, stinky old rotten stuff." He says, "I found something that means everything," right? Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14 speaks of him pressing forward, from him going beyond where he is to where he knows he needs to be. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own." What? I don't consider that I've made it my own. He's not resting on his laurels here. He's not banking on his yesterdays as being the end all. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Remember how Paul talks about his past and how he was really in his own head remembering what he did to the church, as it ate at him. It bothered him that he did something that harmful to the cause and hurt the cause. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, in verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So, if that yesterday gets in the way of us pressing on, forget it, right? Don't let it rule what our future will be. Good advice from Paul. Okay, so to summarize a little bit, let's use our yesterdays to be a benefit. Let's use our yesterdays to give us an opportunity. Use our yesterdays as a club to beat ourselves up on with, but as a ledge to climb up on and keep going. So you probably all know of Johnny Cash. I'm not using him as a righteous example of someone who's really all that great, but he had some good things to say, and he went through some tough times. He found himself addicted to amphetamines, and this is what he said about those. I was taking the pills for a while, then the pills took me. It's admitting something that he came through. He admitted something that owned him, right? He also said, you build on failure. You use it as a stepping stone. Close the door on the past. You don't try to forget the mistakes, but you don't dwell on it. You don't let it have any of your energy or any of your time or any of your space. Good advice. Learn the lessons we need to learn from our mistakes and go from there. So some of our memories can be a blessing. Some of them can be something that's good that we can replay in our minds. And we got to be careful not to let our days lie to us, or we change what they really are. And not let them say, you've done enough. Take it easy now. You're done. You've accomplished so much in your life. So let's just rest. Every day we need to push ourselves to get stronger, to get better, right? Every day that we draw life, we need to be more useful in the kingdom. So in closing, we talk about what it takes to become a Christian, what it takes to become someone who's faithful, someone strong. We've got to begin somewhere, and hopefully what you've heard today makes a difference in your lives. Hopefully these words that I've spoken are from God and that they benefit you. That's what Romans chapter 10 and verse 7 does. We use that a lot, but let's think about it. We get faith by hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. So we need to listen to the word of God every chance we get. Every opportunity can't be dismissed. And believe. We talked about that in our lesson this morning in our Bible class. Belief is a response that we need to have. We need to believe in God and that Jesus is the Son of God. Now comes the hard part. Got to own it. Like Saul did when he's confronted with the truth, what did he do? He owned it. He confessed that belief before men. He was baptized. He repented of his sins. As big as they were, we've got to turn away from them. All good stuff. I appreciate your attention. If you would take up your songbook and turn to number 133. That's our song of invitation. Al has chosen. And it speaks of the love of God. And no better topic than we can talk about, because we can talk about the love of God for a long time. Not cover it all, can't we? This song speaks of its benefits to us, how the love of God makes a difference. Hopefully it's made a difference in your life. If it has, you've already put on Christ, you've already been baptized, and you found yourself, like we talked about, in a place that you don't know you don't need to be. Make our tomorrow better by responding today. Respond to the gospel as we stand and sing this song.
The love of God is greater for